Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and all who are watching on catch-up service during the week to come. Welcome to worship, everyone. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, if we may, and we have the intimations later in the service. And so we'll hold off on those and give the praise band just a moment. And we'll start with our call to worship. Friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let us worship God with full hearts and grateful hearts by singing our first song of praise together, Beautiful One. And during the singing of this song, our offering for God's work will be uplifted.
Prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness to us over the past week. Thank you for our families and friends here too. Thank you for being with us in the difficult times we've had to face, especially the political situation in our country. It is wonderful to know that in all circumstances you are there and you are in control. Thank you for our church here in Kemeny, and for Joshua and Heather, and also for David. Now he has joined us for a year. Please bless Joshua in his studies and his work around the parish and his ministry in the church, and Heather in her work in the presbytery. We also pray that you will bless David and guide him in his future plans, that he will know your will for his life. We thank you for him and pray that he will feel very at home with us as we are, and we are one family in Christ. We also thank you for the church activities in the village, for the loaves and fishes, and for all those that so faithfully work there week by week. We pray for mainly music and for each of the families that are represented there, that we may be a witness to them of your love and care for them. We pray for all the children that come to our church and for those that lead them each Sunday in the junior church time. We do pray that they may all grow up to know you and love you as their Lord and Saviour. We thank you for the midweek Bible studies when we can meet and read and discuss your word and learn and know more about you. We thank you, Lord, for our village and the beauty that we see around us every day, for the changing seasons and the beautiful hills. Thank you for the amazing scenery, and may we never take this for granted. Many people live in very busy, built-up cities, and we are so blessed to live where we live. Dear Lord, we think of those we know and love who are struggling with ill health and other difficulties, and we pray that you will surround them with your love and strength. We think of those recently bereaved and ask that you will be their strength and comfort at this sad time and in the coming days. Lord, please be with Joshua as he brings a message from your word to us this morning, and help us to live our daily lives in service for you. Help us to speak to people that we know who maybe don't know you. Help us to tell them of your love for them, reminding them of what you did for them at Calvary in giving your life that they might have life. Let's now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. We continue now to worship God with the gift of music by singing our next hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Now I'm a servant.
invite any children who would like to come down and sit with me on the steps to join me for a children's time. Come on down. Come on down. Nice to see you all. Good to see you, Samuel. Hi, Ben. Hi, Emily. How are you all doing today? You okay? Yep. Yeah. Well, I have some things here in the bag to show you, and they relate to things that you might do every day or lots of times during the week. So here's my first prop. Who knows what these are? Fork, and that's a fork. What's that called? Spoon, what's that called? Right. So you have your meals with your mummies and daddies and grandpas and grandmas and whatnot. And how many of you have ever set the table to help get ready for dinner before? Oh, all four of you. Very well trained indeed. Excellent. Good. So that's a wonderful way to be helpful, that we can make our families' lives easier. Now I wonder if we know what this is. What do you think this is? In my left hand here, the yellow. A bowl, yep, what's this for? Stirring, that's right. So you can use this to make all sorts of things. These are used for what kind of activity? Making cakes. You have sweet teeth, I see over here. That's right, all sorts of things. When I was your age, I used to help my mom and dad make things in the kitchen as well. And oftentimes, I was in charge of mixing the chocolate stuff. So this was coated in chocolate at the end. And you know what to do with this is coated in chocolate, right? Yeah, that's right. So, you ever help your moms and dads with cooking and the baking in the kitchen? Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, good. That's another wonderful way to be of help. And here's a slightly maybe less fun one, but I wonder, do you know what this is? What's this?
A towel.
Yes, and what do you do with this?
You dry.
Dry, okay. And what kinds of things would you dry in the kitchen, do you think?
Plates.
Yeah?
Plates and bowls.
Plates and bowls, so... The dishes. Ever washed the dishes before? Or help your moms and dads wash the dishes? You haven't got to that skill yet? You've dried them. So you've used these before to dry the dishes as well. So that's a wonderful way to be of help too. You're doing so well. Let's see, what else do we have in here? Who knows what this is?
A pillow,
right? I'm going to lay down and take a nap right now. No, I'm not going to. Sounds kind of good. So how many of you ever make your bed? Sometimes, okay? Get points for honesty, right? Is it a good thing to make your bed, do you think?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, they say with some reluctance. That's true. So it's good to be able to make your bed. So that's another task that we can help out around the house with as well. Let's see here. Here's a slightly more fun one. What's this? Can we recognize what this is? Close.
An American football.
Now, why do you think I have one of these in my bag? I support an American football team, that's right. And by the way, my team is undefeated. Granted, we've only played one game. But we're still undefeated. So, what kind of sports or activities do you all like to play?
Football.
Ben? Do you like to run? I think your mom told me you like to run. What do you like?
I like running as well.
Running as well? Running as well. Anybody like to dance? Yeah, okay. Any other sports you like?
I don't mind basketball.
You don't mind basketball. Okay, so there's all sorts of fun activities that we can do. We can do this with our friends and our family. These are all wonderful activities to do together. So as you may know, we're learning right now about a book called 1 Samuel. This young fellow named Samuel here, and just like us, he grew up at one point as well. And when Samuel was growing up, he had time for play and for fun because he was a child, but he also did lots of stuff to help his family, and he served God in God's temple by helping to clean it up and to look after it. He did things like the dishes, he made his bed, he helped with the cooking. And you know what? Even though Samuel was just a person like each one of us, each thing he did was wonderful, and it helped his parents, and it glorified God. And so the lesson today, boys and girls, is that even with these small things like making our bed or doing the dishes or setting the table or making a meal or playing with our friends, all these wonderful things we do, they can all make God very, very happy. And so Remember, when you go to school and when you're at home, everything that we do can be glorifying and pleasing to God. So would you join me in a repeat after me prayer, please? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Every day, help us, Lord, to serve you by helping others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye to your seats now. I'm reminded of a great quote from Mother Teresa. She said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." There's a lot of truth in that, I think. And so in that spirit now, we sing our kids' song, It's the Little Things.
It's the little things that show my love for Jesus.
The first of today's readings is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 21, and that can be found on page 272 of your pew Bibles. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 21. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was a practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the man said to him, "Let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. The next reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. That's Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, and that will be found on page 994. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Suzanne. We now sing our next hymn of praise, "I Need Thee."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we need you every hour, every minute, every second. It is only by your grace and your love that any of us are here, that any of us can step forward and live our lives. Everything that we are, we owe to you. And as we pause the lives you have given us to be here in this place together as your people, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon each of us, giving each of us fresh insight into your word, into who you are. And may the words of my mouth, and may the meditations of our minds and hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, today we're continuing with our series on 1 Samuel. And at the start of this series, I made a remark that this book centers on the time in Israel's history when God's people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were starting to transition from what I would call a tribal federation under the leadership of the judges like Gideon, Samson, and Deborah. They're transitioning from this time of the judges, from this federation of tribes, to a monarchy. First under the rule of Saul, and then under the rule of David. And David, I think, is universally acknowledged as the greatest king in the history of the nation of Israel. Earlier we heard as well that 1 Samuel is a messy book. And it's messy because it deals with people. That's just the nature of it. It's messy because it deals with this very grueling, very trying transition from the tribal federations to this kingship. But the first king, Saul, doesn't even appear in the narrative of this book until chapter 9. Up until that point, in the part that we're at now, it deals with the character, the person of Samuel, and his growth and his leadership and his becoming a prophet of the Lord. In this morning's passage, and I invite us always to follow along in the passage as we go through it, this morning's passage from 1 Samuel is, I think, a study in contrasts. In the first part of this passage, we encounter a narrative about the sons of Eli, the priest. Now, thinking back and looking back through the passage just for a moment, judging from what we heard about these sons of Eli, I'm sure we would agree that they were men of high distinction and integrity. Right? Or not? No, hardly. It's right there in verse 12, opening line. It's a stinging indictment of them. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless or wicked men. They did not know the Lord," or the translation that Suzanne read, "they did not have regard for the Lord." I like that translation. And when the Bible talks about knowing someone like this, it does not mean having a general knowledge of someone or being acquainted with someone. Rather, when the Bible talks about that these sons of Eli did not know the Lord, it means they did not have a real transformative relationship with God. So on the one hand, being the sons of Eli, and Eli was a priest, these young men lived and worked in the same vocation as their father. So they're priests, but on the other hand, they did not know the one they were called to serve. Do we see the problem here? Yes. Talk about irony. And instead of carrying out their priestly duties in ways that were centered on helping the Israelites feel closer to God, the text is clear that they abused their position. In verses 13 and 14, it says, "The custom of the priests with the people was that when any person offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling and take a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself." This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. To put it bluntly, these sons of Eli stole from those who came to make offerings to God. And in verse 17, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. So I think it's a fair summation to say that these sons of Eli were given the gift of service, of bringing people close to God, but instead they chose to use their gifts for wrong and for selfish gain. Not exactly a rosy picture of them, now is it? But in contrast, look what this text tells us about the boy Samuel in verses 18 through 20. It says, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. His mother used to make him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And then Eli, the same Eli, would bless Elkanah and his wife Hannah and say, may the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord. And so they would return to their home. So we see from this text, even from a young age, that the boy Samuel understood the importance of using his gifts well. The text tells us he was ministering before the Lord. It isn't nearly as specific about Samuel as it is about Eli's sons, but it does leave us with the impression that even from a very young age, Samuel learned his duties well and was dutiful in carrying them out. We also infer that Samuel did well in the responsibilities given to him from verse 20, when Eli would say that he was praying for Elkanah and Hannah to have more children as a blessing for the one that they had given to the service of the Lord. Generally, if you're not happy with how someone's asking, how someone's working, you don't ask the people who gave them to you to have more. Right? Put it another way, Eli would not have prayed for Hannah to have more children if he was unhappy with Samuel. And so both the sons of Eli in this passage and Samuel were faced with the same choice. Would they use their gifts well for God's glory, or would they hide them and use them for less than honorable purposes? And as we see from the text, they made very different choices with very different consequences. In 1 Samuel 2:26, we are told, now the young man Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with people. He continued to grow in the faith. He continued to grow in right service to the Lord. And later, in a longer narrative in the same chapter, we are told that the Lord rejected Eli's household because of the wicked behavior of his sons. Friends, it matters how we use our gifts. This is brought home for us in our second passage this morning, this parable of the talents that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25. In this parable, and Jesus was fond of his parables, his most powerful, most useful teaching device was through parables. In this one, he used the imagery of a man who was going on a long journey, and while he was away, he entrusted his resources to his servants with the expectation that they would use what was given to grow his resources. And according to our text, and again, follow along, please, to one he gave 5 talents, talents was a type of money, to another 2, to another 1, each according to their ability. And then the master went away. And we're told the one received 5 talents, went at once and traded with them and made 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But what did the one person with 1 talent do? Buried it and hid his master's money. So 5, 2, and 1, each according to ability. We know from the text that the servant with 5 talents went out, did business, made 5 more. The 2 went out, made 2 more. But the 1 buried it and did not have anything extra to give his master when he returned. And eventually the master returned to settle accounts, we're told. And I think this is an important point. We read the text carefully. When the master treats with the servant with 5 and the servant with 2, the master, Jesus, his response is exactly the same verbatim, word for word. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The exact same words to the servant with five and the servant with two. Now, I think a lot of Christians spend a lot of time worrying that they do not measure up, that they don't have all the answers, they don't have all the abilities, they don't have all the resources, and what they have been given is somehow not good enough or as grand as gifts given to other believers. I wish I had a tenor for every time I heard some well-meaning Christian woman or man say something to the effect of, "But I haven't got any gifts," or, "That person's gifts are so much more than mine, ask them. But I can only do this." And I think the fact that Jesus had the exact same response to the servant with five and the servant with two makes it clear that God doesn't really care about the scope or the nature of our talents. What God cares about is how we use what we have been given. That's what matters. The servant who received two talents could have complained that the servant with five received more, but he didn't moan about it. Instead, he got on with his job, with his life, and both he and the servant with five talents used their gifts well, and they were commended by their master. But not so with the third servant, right? This one who took the one talent, buried it in the ground, refusing to use what his master had given him. And when his master came back, he was rebuked and had his talent taken away. Now, I wonder if we see the parallels between our two stories. I think the servant with the one talent, the wicked servant, is much like these sons of Eli in our first passage. They didn't really know God, and so instead they abused and squandered the gifts they were given. But the servants with the two and the five talents are much like the boy Samuel. They were given a little. They desired to please God. They were faithful with a little. And then God set them over much. So like the sons of Eli, like Samuel, like the servants in the parable that Jesus taught, our master has given each of us gifts and talents to use while he is away. While it is certainly true that no one can earn salvation from God, that's a free gift, Jesus is also clear that it does still matter how we use the gifts we have been given, how we use the resources that God has given to us. Whether we feel like we have five talents, two talents, or one talent, the number is not important. What matters, friends, is how we use what we have been given. And so, to say more about the importance of stewardship, I'd like to invite our treasurer, Mr. Andrew Radcliffe, forward to talk a bit about our stewardship season and the value of using our gifts well. Andrew.
Good morning. Last week, Helen Lal introduced our stewardship season for the year, reminding us of our responsibility to be good stewards of the church in relation to financial giving. This morning, I would like to speak to you about where your money goes, along with some practicalities about giving. So, where does the money go? Well, your money pays for the running of the church, the routine stuff. That's the heating and electricity. It's the cost of decorating the church, cost of fixing a leaky roof, as we did only 2 weeks ago. It's the servicing and repair of the heating system, replacing light fittings, tuning the organ. It's our insurance premiums. It's maintenance of the manse. It's council tax for the manse. And it's secretarial support telephone bills, broadband, photocopier rental, ministers' travel, accountancy fees, etc. Your money pays for our youth activities and our outreach. Your money pays for all the equipment and licenses to run our live streaming service and to create CDs for those unable to attend the church. Lastly, we pay fees to the Church of Scotland. These fees cover our minister's stipend, which is his wages, and support the church's mission and ministry activities in Scotland and worldwide. It should come as no surprise that many of these costs increase year by year, and each year we have to increase our income so that the church can conduct its activities within its means. And this brings us back to our responsibilities as stewards of the church. So I would like to ask each one of you, when you go home today and over the coming days and weeks, to consider three things. Firstly, if you are a UK taxpayer, please register to gift aid your regular donations, as money reclaimed from the taxman is a significant part of our income. Secondly, if you're not doing so already, please consider giving by monthly standing order from your bank account. This enables better predictability of income. And finally, and most importantly, please review how much you give and prayerfully consider making adjustments if you are able and if you are willing. Details on how to give are on our website, kemneyparish.church. If you have any other questions regarding giving, please speak to myself or our gift aid conveners, Jeff and Joyce Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Just a couple other intimations to share with us at this time. I have an intimation about Super Sundays, super with a U. If you look at the top. These are coming on the fourth Sunday of each month, the 22nd of September, 27th of October, and 24th of November. And along with worshiping at the Kirk, starting at 10 a.m., there'll be a time of relaxed fellowship and worship at the Kirk Center as we watch together the live stream service and have a chance to catch up. On those Sundays where we have Super Sunday, Children's Explorers Sunday School will be at the church center on these weeks, in addition to toys being pulled out for little ones. And following the service, everyone is welcome to come to the center for a time of fellowship and a light soup lunch. But the 27th of October will be a special edition of Super Sunday Shared Lunch. So that'll be a bigger event that day. But in order to make these Super Sundays succeed, we need to grow our team of volunteers to help. If you're able to help, please speak with me or please speak with Heather to make your interest known. A reminder as well that next Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd of September, we'll have our next evening of praise with songs, and the theme for that evening is Highest Praise. A very warm welcome is extended to all, and your support for this event and all these praise events is warmly appreciated. And refreshments and fellowship will follow after the evening of praise next Sunday evening. Is there anything else, Jim, you'd like to say about next Sunday? Very good. So with those two shared, I would commend the rest of our intimations in the print to your attention, especially the informal prayer meeting information and the information about the Bible discovery groups. Please do take the time to read through these intimations to learn more about the life and activities of our church family. With those shared then, let us continue in worship by singing our next song of praise, which is I Am a New Creation.
I am a new creation. Yeah.
Let us bring our prayers for the world. Let us join together in prayer. Lord, we praise you for the great gift of prayer, the gift that you've given us to be able to come to you, to lift our concerns and our praises to you. We thank you that we come with confidence because of your love to us through Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, thank you that you want us to commend one another to you, not just locally, but also around the world. And Lord, as we listen to the news, as we read newspapers, and as we read about things, we realise that there's so much need in the world about. And Lord, we can just bring but few of them to you this morning. And Lord, we do pray with so many people around the world who are mourning the terrible devastation that's been caused by Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. You know that there are more than 2,500 people missing, and thousands of homes and businesses that have been destroyed. And we pray for your comfort, provision and protection over the Bahamas. And we pray for the aid effort and the rebuilding effort, and those who are bringing comfort and help to those who are grieving at this time. And Lord, we also continue to bring the people of Mozambique, Malawi and Zimbabwe to you, who still need essential support after Cyclone Idai some months back. We continue to ask that you will heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted, and provide for those who are still in desperate need. We ask that you will give them your hope, and a strong and lasting hope that'll be. And Lord, we pray that you will bring your blessing to them. And Lord, we thank you that the levels of militia violence in the area of Beni in the Democratic Republic of Congo, that those levels of violence have been decreasing. And this is an answer to prayer. We continue to pray for peace in the country, and we pray for the Tear Fund staff who work in those terribly challenging conditions, and particularly those who are helping to bring an end to the Ebola outbreak there. And Lord, we pray for Christians in Iraq who are returning to the Nineveh Plain after the defeat of ISIS. We ask for school children as they begin a new term that they would regain confidence in learning and become more and more who God has called them to be. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen the teachers and staff and volunteers at the schools as they serve the children and the community, and help life to come back to something of normality. And Lord, we pray very much that you heal them of the traumas that they've suffered over these years. And Lord, we pray for Lebanon. We pray for them as they deal with so many refugees from countries round about. We thank you that they have remained peaceful despite the potential for instability. And Lord, we pray for the leaders there. We pray for your churches there. We pray for the church in Minyara, that you will give them all they need to be able to support the refugees, to help them, and to, Lord, help them to return to their own countries too. And Lord, we pray for our own country, which is still deeply divided over the issue of Europe. Lord, we pray for our parliament, we pray for our government. We pray that we will stop actually fighting each other and talk to one another and find real ways forward. And Lord, that we'll do this with respect and with meekness. And Lord, we pray for our church in this country, that we will bring your peace, we will bring your hope. Lord, we pray that we will use the gifts that you've given us to be peacemakers, and Lord, to show love. And we ask for our own church and community. We pray for those in need who are suffering in health, suffering from difficult circumstances, so many things that can affect us. Lord, may we as a fellowship support and encourage each other in prayer and practical support, using the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, may we grow closer to you, and may our love for the community around also be extended, that Lord, we will have a real influence on them and bring your light into their hearts. And we pray that many more people will come to know you and love you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, David. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, "Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be." Information to share at the end of our time together is that, as we may know, we started a time after the service for off to the side here for anybody who wants to have a quiet conversation or a word of prayer and support, that they can do so in quiet and complete confidence. And after the service today, David and Judith Bale will be available off to the left-hand side over here to chat with anyone who feels the need for this time. So please do avail yourselves of that if that is needed at this time for you. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There is no such thing as an ungifted Christian. No such thing. Every single one of us has beautiful gifts to share with others and with the world. God has given each of us talents and resources to spread the good news of the gospel here in Kemnay and elsewhere. As we go forth from this place today, may we each be mindful that we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And may we use those gifts well for God's glory. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.